Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldrith. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
Faraway places, God's Word is being shared because we give. Take out your sermon notes and your Bible, if you would, for those of you online. Again, you can go onto our webpage and find the sermon notes for today. And as you get there, open your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 is our passage today. Not sure where Matthew is? Go to the Old Testament and start there and go all the way through, and you'll get to Matthew when you begin the New Testament. And so, Matthew chapter 2. Let's bow in prayer as we come before God's Word. Father, thank you again for your Word. Thank you for the blessings that it brings to our lives. And Father, we pray that those same blessings would expand to the lives of people around the world as they come into contact with your Word and learn who Jesus is and receive him as Savior and Lord and begin a relationship with him that will last for eternity. Now, Father, we pray that your Spirit would fill this room, that he would speak to each one of our hearts and lives this morning as we dig into your Word a little bit today. We pray that he would give us wisdom, that he would give us that insight that we need to apply it to our lives, even this week. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We've been talking about a simple Christmas, and we're going to continue to do that throughout this month. But as we think about giving, I'm going to talk about today Christmas gifts for the whole year round. How do we do that year round? You know, it's an accepted thought by people that we should be compassionate this time of year in the Christmas season, and it's sociologically accepted as being true that we should. And so it's during these few weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas or New Year's that people do more, they give more, and they help others more than any other time of the year. And that's a good thing. That we show compassion. We are to be compassionate, and we need to do that. And December seems to be that time when we do. And even right now, we are involved in doing some things. And the reason, it may be part of it, is because there are more opportunities to do that. For example, by now, I would imagine or assume that many of us in here have already put some money in a red kettle for the Salvation Army. And why did we do that? We did that simply because there was somebody at the front door of a store, and they were ringing a bell, and so we just took out some money and we put it in. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, that's a good thing. Probably if they were out there in July doing that, we'd do the same thing. We'd still put some money in because we're compassionate people, and we need to be compassionate. But we want to make sure that our compassion is not limited to 6 weeks out of the year, that we're compassionate 52 weeks out of the year, that we look for ways and we find ways to continue to show compassion to people, because we know that that is not going to be enough. In fact, we should show Christian compassion year-round. We should give to others year-round. I don't think there's anybody in here who wouldn't say, yes, we should do that. Do we do that is a whole different question, but we should. We should be year-round givers in terms of how we show compassion to other people. And so what we need to figure out is, how do we get to that point? How do we get to that point where we give to others year-round? We show that compassion year-round that we need to do. And that takes us to our scripture reading for today. And it's found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. It's a very well-known story. And pretty much everybody in here could probably tell the story. We've already sung about the story, and now we're going to read about the story. It starts in verse 1 with this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came from Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, how many of you have never heard that story? You know it. But how does it apply to us? That's what we want to look at today. The story of these wise men, or these magi, these kings, sometimes it says, teach us how to give, and there are some principles. There are three principles that we learn from their story. So let's take a look at each one of those. So this morning, three principles on giving that you can and that you should use year-round. Every one of these three simple principles ought to guide all of our giving, all of our compassion, not just for 6 weeks, but for 52 weeks each year. So let's jump in. First of all, when you give more than you expect to receive. Seems very simple, doesn't it? That whatever gift you give, whenever you're giving, just make sure that you're giving more than you expect to receive. Look again at verse 2. It says, The Magi showed up in Jerusalem, and they said, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When these men came to worship Jesus, they didn't know who he was. They didn't know where he was exactly. They were following the star, but they knew there was something special about him, and they wanted to give. They wanted to be a part of that. And when they came into Jerusalem, they did not come to a gift exchange. It was not one of those. It was not a gift exchange. They were coming for something very different. They were coming to find a child. In fact, a newborn baby. And unlike when you left your room dirty and your dad got on you, or your mother got on you, or you left the door open and they said, "What is it with you? Were you born in a barn?" This child really was born in a barn. They were coming to one who was born in a barn to very poor parents. And there was no chance, there was no hope, there was no expectation that there would be any kind of reciprocation as they gave their gifts. The wise men didn't care. That wasn't their purpose for coming. They didn't say, "We're going to travel all this way, 2,000-3,000 miles, on camelback." And if you've ever ridden a camel at any kind of an event or at a zoo, It's usually something you're really glad to get off of. After about 30 seconds, they had ridden this thing, they'd come across the desert on these camels, and they were going to go back across the desert on those camels. They didn't expect anything to be given back to them, and they had not a care in the world about that. They weren't coming to get. They were coming for something else. The wise men came to give, not receive. That puts your giving in a whole new light, doesn't it? That should put your compassion in a whole new light. That whatever you're doing, whatever you're giving, make sure that you're not giving so that you're going to get something back in return. Because that's not the purpose of giving, to get something back, to get something that you could receive. A man named Ryan received an awesome gift one Christmas from his sister. Her gift to him were season tickets to the then San Diego Chargers, which they should still be today, and Qualcomm Stadium, which doesn't even exist today. But that was what it looked like. And in fact, my brother had season tickets almost with that exact view right there. And a few times I got to go with him to watch a game, and we watched from that angle, and it was a great place to watch the game from. But I got to tell you, especially in these modern era seats, season tickets cost not just hundreds of dollars, but thousands and thousands of dollars to be able to get them anymore. So this was a major gift, and as he received that gift of season tickets to his favorite football team, he felt a little bad because he had actually gone out to the store and bought a new set of potholders for his sister. So she gave him season tickets, and he gave her something much different. And he felt bad about that. But she told him it didn't matter. She said, I just wanted to give you something that you would enjoy. I wanted to give you something that told you how much I think about you and how much I appreciate you. I've known families who have been in situations, and in workplaces too, sometimes where feelings developed in families that were not so good because they didn't get back as much as they put in and they felt cheated. Maybe you felt like that. When someone gave you a gift and you looked at it and you looked at what you'd put in and you said, no, I think I got cheated on this deal. I went to this party, this Christmas party, and I took a really nice gift and I felt cheated. But I want you to know, I want you to understand this. When it comes to giving God's way, you cannot be cheated. You cannot be cheated. It's impossible to be cheated when you don't give expecting to receive something of at least equal value. We give because it's the right thing to do. We give because we want to bless somebody else. That's what the wise men were doing. They wanted to come and worship Jesus. They wanted them to know how much they appreciated them and were looking forward to him. And so the goal in giving is always to give more than you get back. Give more than you get back. Maybe you've been in a situation where people are trying to decide how they're going to give gifts. And one lady and her family decided, okay, we have a big family and it costs a lot of money and we don't want to get anybody's feelings hurt, so why don't we give a $20 gift? But this is what we do. Everybody show up with a $20 bill. I meant to have a $20 bill. Do you have one in your purse, son? No. Okay. She always tells me that. I don't understand. Anyway. She said, this is what, everybody hold up your $20 bill and then pass it to the person on your right. And now receive a $20 bill from the person on your left. And so they did that. Everybody went around. Everybody came in with $20, and everybody left with $20. And apparently everybody was happy. But I will tell you what they didn't do. They did not give. There was no gift giving. They just simply walked in and walked out with the same thing they came out with. It was somebody from somebody else's pocket, but it was still the $20. That is not giving. That is not a gift. And so if you're just simply trading goods that are equal and say, okay, we've given gifts. No, you haven't. No, that's not giving. Giving is when you're giving more than you expect to get back. If you expect anything to give, come back to you. That's what giving is about. One man told a story about a college friend named Paul who received a car from his brother on Christmas, a new car on Christmas. And he was astounded, so drove it home, parked it in his driveway, and a little boy on the street came running over and said, "Wow, where'd you get that car?" And he said, "It was a Christmas gift." He said, "Who gave you a car for Christmas?" He said, "My brother did." And he looked at the car and looked at the man, looked at the car again, and he said, "Boy, I wish." And he thought, "I know what he's going to say. I wish I had a brother like that." No, he said, "Boy, I wish I could be a brother like that. Wish I could be that kind of a brother who could give a car knowing that I would never get back in return what I gave." We need to be those who give, because there's a tremendous reward in giving. There's tremendous blessing and reward when we give by God's plan. So we give more than we expect to receive. And then we give out of love, not out of obligation. Give out of love, not out of obligation. I want you to notice in verse 11 what Matthew wrote. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. That giving of the gifts that they had, was an act of worship. Have you ever received a gift from someone with the impression that the gift was given out of a sense of duty or more so than desire? Where I know I'm getting this gift from somebody, but it's only because I'm related to them? Or it's only because we're somehow tied together, or it was a gift exchange, or whatever it is, but there's no sense of desire on the part of the person giving. And when you give a gift that way, when you give a gift out of a sense of duty or obligation, don't think you're fooling anybody. 9 times out of 10, they're going to know the only reason you're giving to them, they're giving you that gift, is because they have to, or you're giving them that gift that you're giving is because you're supposed to. But there's no love, there's no desire to give that gift. It's just socially acceptable to do that. But it doesn't equate to improving a relationship at all. When you give with an attitude, people can tell. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, we read, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." God looks at the motive behind what you give. Just like the people who receive from you can see the motive behind it, God sees the motive behind what you're doing. I read about two sisters who have been fighting for 20 years. They just don't like each other and they've never gotten together. But every Christmas, they give each other a gift. Every Christmas, they exchange gifts. And somebody finally asked them, if you don't like each other, you don't talk to each other for a whole year, why on Christmas do you exchange gifts with each other? And both of them had the same answer. Because we give everybody else in the family a gift. It just means we have to give them one too. And I got to tell you, it probably wasn't giving any way, in shape or form, out of love. And they probably were received that way. And it didn't change their relationship one bit. It didn't change who they were. The truth is as simple as this. If your gift isn't motivated by love, if what you're doing and giving isn't motivated by love, it doesn't matter what the gift cost. It could be really cheap. It could be very expensive. Doesn't matter what it cost. It is still worthless. You've just given a worthless gift. There is no value in it. It didn't brighten the life of anybody that you gave it to. It didn't fix your life. If you're giving thinking that everybody will love me and I'll feel good about myself, it won't happen if it's not given by love. If you're only giving out of obligation, even if you're giving a gift to Lottie Moon, if you're only giving out of obligation, there's no value in that. God sees the motives of our heart. We need to understand he's looking for love, not obligation, when we serve him. He's not looking for something that is worthless. And these wise men's gifts were special, not because they were valuable. They were special because they were given with a heart full of love. They wanted to be in the presence of this baby. They wanted to see him. They believed that a king was coming. And they wanted to show that love that they had for him. Back in 1999... the governor of Pennsylvania at that time was Tom Ridge, and in 1999, right at Christmas time, he sent out $100 $100 rebates, I should say, to everybody in the Philadelphia school district. All the families and everybody lived in that school district. He sent back a tax rebate to them, and that had a lot of blowback because of that, because there was a re-election coming up very soon. And so people were saying, well, he's just trying to buy votes. And I don't know whether he was or wasn't, but a lot of people weren't happy about that. And an amazing thing happened. Now, this is 1999, so that's a while ago, and so dollar values have changed a little bit, but over the next couple of weeks, from the time those came out till the end of the year, people sent back that rebate, and they sent it directly to the school district so it could be used for these children. But ultimately, $40,000 came back to the school district. And almost all of it came from people living outside of the school district. He said, you know, this isn't going to help us. And our children in our school districts, when out here in the suburbs, don't really need that kind of money. But in the city, they do. Give out of love, not obligation. Third principle we want to look at this morning, as we're deciding how to give and what to give gifts that tell people what they are worth. Let your gift tell them what they are worth. Matthew says in the second part of verse 11, then they opened their treasures and presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When you've been going to a baby shower, are those the kinds of things you look for to give to a newborn baby? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Probably not. That wouldn't be what we give. But according to the customs of that day, if you wonder what the meanings behind what their gifts were, according to the customs of that day, gold was a gift for a king. It was a gift for a king. Incense was a gift for a priest. Myrrh was a gift for one who would die. That incense, the myrrh rather, was used to embalm the bodies of the dead. All of them were very valuable. All of them were very costly, but they had very different impacts and reasons for giving. And when the wise men brought their gifts to Jesus, they didn't come bearing trinkets for a kid. They didn't bring pacifiers, and burp rags, and those kinds of things. And those are important, but they weren't coming because he was an infant. They were coming because he was the infant. He was the king who was going to be born. He was going to be their high priest, as he is our high priest today. He's the one who intercedes for us between God. And he was going to die. And Jesus Christ came to die. And 30 years later, 33 years later, he would go to a cross. And he would die for us. When they brought those gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they said to this baby, to his parents, "We see the value in him. We see the worth in him. And we're going to give him something that shows his worth, his value." When you give, make it your practice to give a gift that says, "I believe in you. I believe in you." Give them a gift that says, "You're worth something. I took time to think about this. I took time to find it for you because it tells me of your worth. It reminds me of your value, of what you are capable of being." Jesus was just a little baby, just newborn, could not do anything for himself at that moment. But these men traveled so far to come and show the value and the worth that Jesus would have, that he would be something in this world. He would change this world. He would be the savior of this world. And so when we give this Christmas season, and when we give all through the year, we need to make sure that we are giving things that say to that person receiving it, "I love you, and I value you, and I see the worth. I see who you could be and what God will do in your life with you. And I want you to know that you're not nothing. You are something in God's sight. And because of that, you're something in my sight." I'm pretty sure Amazon doesn't sell that. Walmart doesn't sell that necessarily. Because it may not even be something that you can buy. But it ought to sell that message. That ought to be the end point. That is the reason. Because we care about this person. I think it was in Los Angeles many years ago, they tried to do something about the homeless situation. And if you've been or read about or seen pictures of LA today, it didn't work. The homeless situation is just out of hand. But somebody came up And they actually put this into place. Someone came up in the city who said, this is what we need to do. I don't remember who it was. Whether it was the mayor or the council, somebody said, we need to get every homeless person a brand new shopping cart. And that's what they did. They gave all these shopping carts to all these homeless people that were brand new instead of the ones that they borrowed from the stores and stuff that had the squeaky wheels. And I know we have an obligation to take care of homeless people. We have a biblical obligation to do that. But when I read that, and I remember that story, I thought at the time, this is ridiculous. Because all this says to a homeless person is, here's a new cart for you. Stop bothering us. We're done with you. That's not the message they needed. There are a lot of things we can do for homeless people. We can get them into housing. We can help them find financial help if they need it. We can help them find mental help if they need that. And there's so many different things that would help them, but a shopping cart doesn't do any of those things. So we need to give some thought to what we're doing and say, how can we make a difference in this person's life? How can I do something for them that is going to make a difference? And so we needed to find that they needed to find a much better gift in Los Angeles for the homeless that were there, and they still do, but we still do as well. But we also need to look for much better gifts today in what we give. And that's why I called this sermon Giving Better Gifts. Gifts that talk about value, not the value of the gift, but the value of the person. This is a person who Jesus created. This is a person for whom he came and died and rose again. Whether we like them or not, whether we appreciate what they've done before or not, they are still a person of value in God's sight. They need to become a person of value in our sight, even if they never reciprocate. Because if we give them those kinds of gifts, they won't be able to reciprocate at that time. And we give not because we want to receive. We give because we love. The Talmud, which is a commentary on the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, but it's a Jewish commentary on those five books. This is what it says. It says, he who gives a coin to a poor man obtains six blessings, but he who addresses him with words of comfort obtains 11 blessings. So, yeah, well, what does that mean? We're not Jewish, and I've never read the Talmud before, so what does that mean? What they were saying is this. It says, it means this. It means that we should give in such a way that builds up the recipient. Why would we stop at six blessings when we could give a dozen blessings to them? When we can build them up even more. So we can take the easy way out and just buy some stuff and give it away and try to feel good about ourselves, or we can give thought to it. And we can give in a way that builds people up that are going to receive the gifts. Too often we're just really condescending in the way that we give. And we give with way too many strings attached, even to God. God, I'm giving this to you, but I have strings attached. You better come through for me. And he's under no obligation to do that. We give. And we should give not to manipulate people into doing what we want them to do. We give because They have value. And we want to acknowledge that value of who they are. Too often, we give with a subtle message, now you owe me. Now you owe me. I just gave you a really nice gift. Boy, do you owe me now. When you give that way, this isn't giving. That is not giving. You know what that is? It's bribery. I'm going to give you this, but I expect you to act a certain way. I'm bribing you to do what I want you to do. And it very seldom works because it doesn't build up the one who receives the gift. Neither does it glorify God. These three wise men, when they brought valuable gifts to Jesus, they did so because they recognized his value. There were no strings attached. There was no condescending. Just, we want to show you your value. And when you give a gift that says, I want to show you who you are, you're saying you're worth something to me. As you hand that gift out, you ought to be able to say, you're worth something to me. This is how it shows what you're worth to me. Last couple weeks, we've talked about how to rediscover the simplicity of Christmas. And it's been all about giving. It's been about giving. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about finding ways to give intangible gifts to those you love. Last week, we talked about beating the holiday hurts by being servants to others. And this week, again, we see giving playing a crucial role in experiencing Christ's presence during Christmas and throughout the rest of the year. And it's all about giving. You want a simple Christmas? Get the giving part of it right. It's not about how many dollars you spend or how few dollars you have to spend. It is about choosing how you spend and why you spend and why you give. It's all about giving. When we give, we need to give more than we hope to get. We need to give out of love and not obligation. Somehow it needs to express to the recipient, you are worth something. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you that you give in a much different way than we give. Thank you that when you gave Jesus Christ, you told us we're worth something. The world maybe never told us that. The world may have told us we weren't worth anything. Our parents might have told us we were worthless. Teachers at school might have conveyed that we would never amount to anything. Maybe we've listened to the internet way too much and feel like we're not anything because of every great thing everybody else seems to be able to do. But you've never told us that. You've told us we are of infinite value. And you did so by sending Jesus, that little baby in a dirty manger stall. Cold winter night, perhaps. Parents who didn't have any money. And yet, you said, I gave him to you because you are of value to me. Thank you that you see each of us in this room as of infinite value to you. Thank you for the salvation that we can receive right now through Jesus Christ. We pray right now, Father, that your Spirit would draw us close to Jesus. If there's one hearing this right now who's never trusted Jesus, who's never said, I'm going to give my all to him, I'm going to let him be Lord of my life, I want him to forgive my sins, not because of anything I've done or any way that I have of repaying him back, just acknowledging I am hopeless before him and allowing his grace to make me brand new, to forgive my sins, showing his mercy and grace in my life. Pray, Father, right now they would make that choice. And for all of us in this room, as we continue on through this period of life, of the year, and then as we go into a brand new year, let us be thinking about how we give, why we give, and what can be accomplished when we give according to your principles. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing, if God is talking to you today about your need of salvation or whether it is to make a decision for him in terms of church membership or baptism, whatever it may be, won't you come as we sing?
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org. or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.